So today for me is to step into a place in the middle of a series, which is just exactly the place you don't want to do. But I'm not going to attempt to continue what he's saying, but I'm going to go to a place today that I think can stop us from getting to that place of deep rest. Now, I've got some folks I want you to look at. Go ahead, Ann, put them up there, and they don't have to stay up there long. But there's some folks that I want you to look at, and I want you to tell me whether or not that's deep rest. I'm pretty sure that it's obvious as you look at the next one that it is not deep rest. Go on to the next one. That is not deep rest for sure. You married ones know that one. And look at the next one. That is not deep rest. Look at this next young man. That is not deep rest. But you notice he's on his iPhone or whatever. And here's how I look when I don't have deep rest. And I can get that way sometimes when I start worrying about what's going to happen. Now, let me tell you why I'm bringing that up. Is because I think sometimes the wall that can be set up, not by God, mind you, but by us, that can be set up that keeps us from deep rest is we have to work so hard at it, we're dadgum tired and can't ever get there. And one of the things is that wall can be worry. That wall can be worried about what's going to happen out yonder. What's going to happen tomorrow morning? What's going to happen? You know, it's that life of living for whenever. And what I mean by that is this. A lot of us have operated, and I have in the past, and can still do that to this day. It's the when then happen. When this happens, then I'll be happy. When I get this, then I'll be happy. When I get this promotion, then I'll be happy. When I get this car, then I'll be happy. That's true. But there are things that we will look at and we will put out there as idols. And we'll say, when this happens, then I'll be happy. That ain't God. That's an idol out yonder. And sometimes what can happen is we can live our lives waiting for that out yonder. And then we get there and guess what? Wasn't near as much as we thought it was going to be. I know movie stars, athletes and whatnot. You read about them, you see about them. Pastor Walker had them up there, or maybe it was last week, where you know, when I went to looking for faces and eyes of people who had lived and then died hard, they had a whole lot of money, but they didn't have any life. So where does our hope come from? Some of you may have a physical thing. Some of you, it may be a marriage. Some of you, it may be a family matter, maybe a job matter. The question is this, where does our hope come from in every circumstance? So there's a video I want you to look at, and then we'll come back to talking about this, why worry about tomorrow? His name is Jesus. Name above all names. Messiah, Savior. Jesus Christ is Lord. Now let's go to a point here that to set this up a little bit. We're talking about trouble. We're talking about worry. We're talking about anxious. And to preface some of this, you need a little bit of history about what was going on at this time. Jesus had just come down out of a mountain, off the mountain with rest, and had come down and chosen his men. Would have been fishermen. They were around the Sea of Galilee. And he came down, and as a part of this, there is this Sermon on the Mount. That's what it's called, Sermon on the Mount. And it was done in a place that I've been to, and it's right at the Sea of Galilee, but it's kind of a hillside that goes up this way. And whether or not it's the actual spot really is not relevant. The thing is, the physical nature of it is. We sat there in a group, large group actually, at the very, very top of this hill. And it wasn't a short hill. It was a good ways up there. And there was a flat spot at the bottom where the sea was behind him. And our guide, Avi Shamish, was standing there. And he said, y'all go up there and sit and just sit there quietly. So he went down and we were looking at him and go, what is this about? And he began to talk. And you know what? With all that distance, with all that space, every one of us stretched out could hear every word he said. Now you say, well, that explains how Jesus did what he did. You see, here's the thing about Jesus. Jesus was a natural man. Do you understand? He bled, he hurt, he felt pain, he felt love. And so when he spoke, it wasn't like God set up the most great sound system on earth. God set up a sound system that had water behind him, and I'm sure he made the air blow this direction and everybody could hear what he was saying. And it was the launching of his ministry, basically, is what it was. Behold, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent. First word, repent. And so this talk that he did, and he talked a lot about this. He talked to the Gentiles. He talked to the ones that weren't the Jewish ones. He talked to the Gentiles because, quite frankly, that was the ones that had the need to be able to hear this message. And so he comes down, and there's this thing called the Beatitudes. We're not going to go through all those. But he comes to this passage, which is very, very famous, and people read it all the time. And I read it, and for years I would read it and just get frustrated with it because I did a lousy job of doing what it said. So we are going to begin reading today about Jesus' teaching on worry. Another way you've heard that is be anxious for nothing. But we're going to start this in the Message. And I've done that for a particular reason. First of all, it's one I like to read. And if you don't have a Bible, I encourage you to get one like that. If you're not, you say, I can't read the King James. I can't read that. You know, I don't understand it. Well, that's hard for anybody to read it. But the Message is a wonderful source that you can get. And you can read it. It's written in a language that is easy to understand. But Matthew 6:25, we're going to start off with these words. If you decide for God. Now, the other way to say that is seek first the kingdom. Now, let's think about that just for a second. If we pick that up right there, we miss the whole point of what came before it. Because what came before it was Jesus's discussion, for lack of a better term, of the difference between following God and following materialism. The Gentiles were well known for following materialism. It is basically he did the message to be able to say, you've got all these things to go through, but it basically comes down to this choice. You either choose God or you choose the life of materialism. Now, everybody in this room knows what materialism is. You're going to go home and turn on the game, and you're going to see things sold and advertised all the way through that are all things you must have. Have you ever seen a commercial that says you don't really need this, so don't buy it, don't even watch the commercial. We just did it because we wanted to. No, they're selling something. This is not selling that Jesus was doing. This is Jesus stating the fact that every human on earth will face this decision. Choose God and His ways, or choose the ways of the world. So He says, if you decide, means you're not a brain-dead religious robot. You know what that is? A brain-dead religious robot? That's just somebody who walks around just walks around like a zombie. That's not what He says. He says, you've got a brain. I gave you a brain. I gave you the ability to use it. So what? Choose. You can choose. If you decide for God, living a life of God worship. The Greeks called it living for the supreme good. As big as they got. That was theirs. Living for the supreme good. It follows that you don't fuss or worry about what's on the table at mealtimes or whether the clothes in your closet are in fashion. Now, ladies, that could be for men too, so don't get too caught up in that. In other words, preoccupied, idols with stuff. Materialism, again, there's that word. There is far more to this life, to your life, than the food you put in your stomach and drink, more to your outer appearance, that would be the clothes you hang on your body. That's called the world trinity of cares. The food, the drink, those two kind of go together. The clothes, and what else? The things we're going to put on ourselves. The food, the clothes. What is God saying there? What is Jesus saying there? That's not what's important. Choose God or choose materialism. Matthew 6:26 says this. Consider. Okay, 6:26 says look. 6:25 said if you decide. Both of these say put your mind in gear. Put your mind in gear and think about this. Look at the birds, free and unfettered, not tied down to a job description. Careless in the care of God, meaning God's providing. And you count, meaning us, far more than Him to the birds. So He provides, right? Now, at the front of our house, we have trees that produce these little things, these little nuts. And they drop to the ground. And we were going to use squirrels instead of birds here for just a second. These things drop to the ground, and those crazy squirrels, they go out and fill their mouths up with these things. And then they dig up the mulch and everything, and then they bury them. And the thing that always gets me is they remember exactly where they buried them. I can't remember where my keys are. They can bury stuff all over the place and remember it. So God gave them the mechanics to be able to remember that. I don't know what that says about me, but that He gave them that. The other thing is this. You notice that they went and they have to pick them up. In other words, the squirrels aren't sitting under the tree like and waiting for it to drop in their mouths. No, what do the squirrels do? They go out and work. It's just like the birds. The birds don't sit. You ever been at the beach? You ever see those crazy little birds that are running around all the time and they're just looking for stuff, or they're stealthily moving? Okay, God made everything that's supposed to live, got to eat. And we're going to get to that about how if they don't work, they don't eat. And that's from Paul. But let's stay with the birds and the squirrels for a minute. Here's the principle of that. And sometimes we can forget it. If He cares about the little birds, the little squirrels, the big bears, the fish in the sea, take your pick of stuff that has life. He provides for them, and yet He created man and woman, which is the greater of the creation. So the principle is this, and here's where you can rest, but I don't do good with this. If He'll provide for the least, He will provide for the greater, which is you. And so why? It's just logic. That's the law. If He'll provide, and that teaching needs to give us some security that we do count, even when the enemy is telling you you don't count. Now, here is the truth. Each one of those, all of us, have to eat to live. But God's provision doesn't mean does not take effort to do that. Matthew 6:27. Has anyone by fussing in front of the mirror ever gotten taller by so much as an inch? I know about lots of young guys that would love to do that in the New York Minute to play basketball. That word can also mean lifespan. A cubit's about 18 inches. This also has translations that talk about meaning, can you add to your life? Here's the thing. I don't care how much you work out. I don't care how many miles you run. I don't care what you do. I don't care how well you eat. You can be gluten-free, veggie-free, beef-free, french fry-free, hamburger-free. You can never eat a pizza in your life and never taste cheesecake. You're going to live exactly as long as God wants you to live. Now, wait a minute. Don't you run out of here and say, he said we can eat anything we want to. I didn't say that. Because he says we're supposed to take care of this body. Some of us take better care than others. But we need to take care of this body. So I'm not saying that. But here's the point. You can't convince God, I'm going to give him another day or two. You know, why not? He's a good guy. He's doing everything he wants to do. No. We can do all we can do, but you know what? We're one heartbeat away from heaven or hell. You think about that a second. You're one heartbeat away from heaven that way or hell that way. Not sure where heaven is, but it should be up. So, we have choices to make. We have things that we need to choose. Do we choose God or do we choose materialism? So if we can't do anything about stuff, why do we worry so much about what's happening over here? Why do we say we're trying to find deep rest? We're working so hard to find deep rest, we're exhausted. And God is saying, no, 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 no. And neither is Pastor Roy. He said, no, 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 no. God will bring you to that deep rest. You see, you don't have the ability to do it on your own. So what does that mean? That means you have to trust him. You have to believe him. I love this. Hudson Taylor was a missionary to China, in the 1800s. And I'm going to make this a little shorter than it was. He basically was on his first voyage, and they hit a storm. Now, you think about the boats that they were in the 1800s. These weren't the best boats on earth. So he's on the boat, and they have life vests to put on. Hudson Taylor, being the Christian man that he was, did not want to appear to not have confidence that God would keep them safe. So he didn't take a life vest. Now, he made 11 trips, so he obviously lived through this. But God taught him something by the foolishness of not putting on the life vest. Here's what he wrote. The use of means, that would be the life jacket, ought not to lessen our faith in God. And our faith in God ought not to hinder our using whatever means he has given us for the accomplishment of his own purposes. In other words, this. Don't tell me if I had more faith, I would be healed. Don't do it. You're going to not like my answer. That faith has nothing to do with it. God has provided me medicine for me, for what I need from my stroke, to be able to function somewhat, to be able to do things that I need to do. You see, God makes provision different ways. Can he heal you on the spot? We've seen it. We know he can do it. That's not the question. Here's the thing. You're saying, I can't control not eating, or I can't do it. I just can't exercise. No, you can't exercise because you don't want to. Here's the thing. God gave you a choice. And it's in a lot of different ways. But here's the thing. We worry about this stuff. And here's what worry accomplishes, okay? Worry is futile. Worry is empty. Worry gets you nowhere. Worry steals life. And worry steals joy. Here's the thing. God provides, but we have to cooperate. You see, worrying about what's going to happen over here, all it's going to do is make today less than it could be. Worry tomorrow, subtract from the day. Worry a month from now, subtract to the day. Here's the thing. We have, as parents, naturally born within us, we begin to think about our children 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30 years. What's that going to... You know what? If you spend your time doing more of that than praying for that child is not getting what he or she needs from you. You see, you're not guaranteed any... Here's the only guarantee. Ready? Got one guarantee. Actually, got two. If you trust Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and you accept him into your heart, you confess your sin, you repent, and you accept him and put him in the center part of your life, become a Christian is the way, what that's called, then your destination's heaven. And you can't out-sin God's forgiveness. Does that mean we should go out and sin all the time? No! That's stupid. But we do need to do this. We need to acknowledge the fact that we're still going to sin. I said this in the early service. Some of you may not know this about what I'm fixing to say, the name. Deacons can live to be 150 years old and they're still going to sin. There's nobody in this room that can walk around and say, well, I've accepted Jesus and that means I'm never going to sin again. I got news for you. You just sinned right then. You just lied. So here's the thing. We can't do some things about others, but you know what? I said there's a second guarantee. If you don't accept Jesus, guess where your destination is? Hell. And those are two guarantees. They're absolute, unequivocal. The other thing you can go to sleep tonight knowing is God is in charge and he's not surprised by anything going on in the world. He wants to see how Christians react. You know, he allows these things. None of this stuff happens that God doesn't know about. He doesn't get up in heaven in the morning and get on his iPad and look at it and read, well, look what happened in the world today. He doesn't do that. He doesn't need an iPad. He doesn't need an iPhone. He knows everything already from beginning and end before it ever happened. But we don't live that way. So what gets in our way of living with joy, peace, and love? Worry, worry, worry. It's futile, empty, gets you nowhere, steals life, and steals joy. Fear, uncertainty leads to stress, anxiety, and depression. So you end up with your head in your hand and God saying, you live today. Here's some other words that describe God. The sustainer, the satisfier, the provider, healing grace. Matthew 6:28 talks about this thing called materialism and self-indulgence. That if I get that, then I'm going to be happy. If I get this, then I'm going to be satisfied. How many millionaire athletes, how many movie stars, as David had up last week, have committed suicide with millions of dollars left in the bank? Money does not buy happiness, and it doesn't buy heaven either, by the way. And if you think it does, you need to get your head up out of your iPhone and iPad long enough to look around and realize, why are these people killing themselves if they got all this money? Because they don't have Jesus, possibly. Notice I said possibly. I don't know. They may have. But they're not alive today, and the money didn't keep them alive. All this time, Matthew 6:28, all this time and money wasted on fashion. Do you think it makes that much difference? Instead of looking at the fashions, walk out into the fields, look at the wildflowers. They never primp or shop. Consider again is another word for talking about that. Matthew 6:29 says this, but have you ever seen color and design quite like it? The 10 best dressed men and women in the country look shabby alongside them. Matthew 6:30, if God gives such attention to the appearance of wildflowers, most of which are never seen, don't you think he'll attend to you, take pride in you, and do his best for you? Remember I talked about the least to the greatest? In other words, if he'll do it for the blue bonnets, he's going to do it for you. How many of you have ever seen a sunset that's just so indescribable that you can't believe it? You look at the colors and you just wonder, how could that be done? One word, God. How about a sunset? You ever up early enough to watch one? You might be surprised sometimes. The sun's not just this big white ball. When it comes up, God puts on spectacular light shows. But most of us, you know what? I saw this. We were in Port Aransas, and there was the most incredible sunset going on across the bay, and Lyda and I were watching it. And I'm not making this up. Look at her. She's nodding her head. We're looking this way, and these village idiots are looking the other way at an empty channel hoping a porpoise will jump up. And they're looking this way, and heaven is being displayed this way. You know what? You're going to give yourself away when stuff goes outside of here. And I'm telling you, that sunset was God-made. I've got a picture of it. And someday I'm going to preach a sermon and use it. And you'll say, you photoshopped that. No, I didn't. And my wife knows I didn't. And you know what? That one sunset will never be repeated. Not like that. Just as God makes every sunset and every sunrise unique, He made each and every one of you unique. But you have one need, and it's Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. Matthew 6:31 says this, what I'm trying to do here is get you to relax. Not to be so preoccupied with getting so that you can respond to God's giving. Matthew 6:32 says it this way, people who don't know God and the way He works fuss over these things. But you, Christian, know both God and how He works. He's speaking to the Gentiles here, but He's saying to them, you know how God works. To the list of worry is futile, empty, get you nowhere, steals life, steals joy, worry is worldly. So what are the priorities of living a more worry-free life? It's three verses. But in this three verses can decide how you're going to live. Steep your life. Seek first. Steep your life in God reality. That's the present imperative, meaning continually seek God. Not just once and done. No, it's to continually be seeking God. God initiative, God provisions. Don't worry about missing out. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. Worrying doesn't get you to escape from trouble. It just wastes your time. Trust God. Choose God or materialism. A whole lot of living for out yonder is called anticipatory anxiety. How do you like that? Meaning, I'm living my life anticipating what's going to happen out yonder. And I'm not living today. So I'm missing everything that's happening right here and now because I've got my eyes that way and the sunset's this way. And so I live my life frustrated because tomorrow never gets here. Or, guess what? Tomorrow gets here and it ain't worth a flip. It isn't anything you expected. I can do that myself. I can worry from a doctor's appointment I had last week with my cardiologist. I go to see a cardiologist once a year. Larry goes once a month. I'm teasing. He doesn't really go that way. But he's fixing to go. We need to pray for Larry. Larry's leg's hurting. We believe in healing. We believe in that heart. But Larry has needs. But he can't live for tomorrow. He's got to live for today. So do you. But here's what can happen to us. We can get caught up in worrying about something we have zero control over. Now, what do I have control over? I can work out, eat right, exercise, and take my medication. That's hit the part God said, do your part, fool. Do your part. I provided all this stuff. Do it. Okay. I do it, and then I go into the cardiologist, and they do the test. I have the test done on a Friday. I schedule the appointment to follow up on the test on Monday morning at 7 o'clock. Why? Because I want to know how the test went. Now, I would like to sit here and look as a spiritual giant that I am not and tell you that I wasn't worried about the results. And yet, now here's the thing. And yet I've done everything I was told to do. For the last 4 years, they look at me and the doctor walks in and he always says, I don't believe it. How do you reverse blockage in a carotid artery? It can't be done. Well, God's doing it in me, so I guess that's how it's done. And that's the truth. But I went into that. I came here, led worship at the 9 o'clock service, and I'm believing everything I'm singing, but on my insides, I'm going, I can hardly wait 7 o'clock in the morning, 7 o'clock in the morning. And I'm telling you what, you know what it's like if you've ever had some things happen. You're sitting in the office and you're waiting for him to come in, and heaven help you if he walks in and goes, I'm just going to die right there. No, I'm not going to die right there. But I mean, I had the radiologist when he was doing this stuff. He would go, I said, look, if you don't shut up and quit saying, one of us is leaving and it's going to be me. But here's the thing. We can get caught up in worry. That's natural. That's not unnatural. You don't have to feel guilty about that. He knows that. But he also wants you to know the truth. You don't have to worry. You're not going to control tomorrow. And God's going to control how long you live. Are we responsible and accountable for what we do? Yes, we are. And if we say we're not, we're stupid. Because God says we are accountable for some things. If the birds don't work to get food, they don't eat. If the squirrels don't work to get the nuts, they don't eat. If the fish don't move around, they don't eat. And Paul said, if you do not work, you do not eat. And that's out of the Bible. Now, listen, I understand physical things and mental things and stuff like that can prevent that. But I'm going to tell you what, the thing that can frustrate me the most is around here when this happens is we'll have a young lady walk in and she'll have all of her kids with her and she'll come in and sit down and say they have all these needs and they need their rent and they need all this stuff. And we want to do it and we want to give them clothes and we want to give them food and we want to do this. But she's always checking her iPhone while she's talking about it. And then we go with her, and I've done this myself years ago, go with her to her husband. Why? Because the husband sent the wife inside with the kids. The husband is sitting outside, totally healthy, not a thing in the world wrong with him, doing nothing. Now, we're going to take care of the kids, aren't we, Larry? That's not that wife's fault, but that husband is a jerk. He's a lazy bum. And we've had people around here who have felt, I got to be really careful. We've had people around here that have made statements that what God has told them to do that is not in the least bit consistent to what God says about work. And you know what? They died from not working. And Larry knows who I'm talking about. You don't work, you don't eat, if you're healthy. If you're healthy, we understand that. But listen, God says you've got to do what you're supposed to do. You have accountability. Matthew 6:34 says this. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up. Now, what does that say? That means there are going to be troubles, okay? You got it? Becoming a Christian doesn't mean you never have trouble again. No, the difference in becoming a Christian versus a non-Christian is when you get into trouble, you know where your hope is, like the video said, your hope's in Jesus. You are not without hope. But hard times are going to come up. When the time comes, that whole part that we've just talked about is a simple guide for behavior. Now, here's the truth. We all wonder about the future, and we'd like to have a crystal ball that could tell us all this stuff. We think. I'm going to tell you something. If God put a crystal ball in your hand, and you saw it all from beginning to end with your life and the day you're going to die, you would be a wreck. Think about it. You don't want to know. You don't leave it to God. He's a whole lot better at it. There are certain things that you say, I don't know how I made it through that. God knew that. That's why he didn't tell you ahead of time. But God brought you through it. So you know what? You need to live in today. Don't live for tomorrow. Live in the day that he's given us today. Rejoice and be glad in it. Be grateful for it. You may say, but you don't know how bad my life is. Look, let's compare notes. You want to compare divorce? You want to compare wife with abortion? This is not lighter. You want to talk about, a stroke? You want to talk about diabetes? You want to talk about heart disease? You want to talk about mother with Alzheimer's? You've got son in jail? What do you want to talk about? I'll compare notes with you. I do know what it's like to have to be in a hard time. And sometimes I do well with it because God, I take the grace that he gives me. But there are sometimes I'm so dadgum stubborn that I want to do it myself. And I'm a failure every time I do it. With God, nothing is impossible. But without God, good luck, buddy. I'm going to tell you, this passage on how to live and not worry about tomorrow will free you to get to that place of perfect peace, knowing that God has brought you there. Amen? We can't do it on our own, folks. It takes the power of the Holy Spirit, not the power of your taking notes and writing a diary. I didn't go back to my elementary school, or to my elementary school days on that wooden floor and hear all that stuff and come from that. And listen, I sat with somebody. This is the truth. I sat with somebody at a table Thursday night at a banquet that if you had to ask me who's the one person on earth you never want to sit beside, his name would have been the name I gave you. And I ended up sitting with him and got healed. You see, he didn't know who I was because he didn't recognize me. But he sat down beside me. We didn't make up and become buddies. But I walked away from that and I told Lydie, I said, Lydie, he keeps doing it. He keeps taking me to these places and healing me of the hurt. Because you know what I've lived with for about 23 years now? Was incredible hurt and rejection from that person. And now I don't have it anymore. God took me to that place. And if he'll do it for me, he'll do it for you. No matter what the circumstance is. Amen? Trust him. Trust him. Trust him. All right, I know you want to go watch football. So I'm going to stop. But know this, remember. If God Almighty takes care of the least, then God, your Abba Daddy, is going to take care of you. And God never lets you down. He says, I'll never leave you, and I'll never forsake you. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you are a loving Father. Thank you that you can take us to places by the power of your Spirit we could never get to on our own. And Lord, today we thank you. We are so thankful for your Son, Jesus. Thankful that for that blood that was shed on the cross. But Lord, we do. We say to you, help us, Father, by your Spirit, send help to us to live in today and to trust you for tomorrow. Lord, to get to that place of deep rest from deep tired that only you can do. I pray, Lord, even now you would begin to do that in the folks in this room. And that, Father, that we would understand it is by your power and your might and your grace and your mercy that we live the life you want us to live. And it's by trusting in you. And so, Father, would you protect our folks as they leave? Would you protect them when they get to work tomorrow or tonight? Lord, would you be with them? I pray, Father, they would sense your Spirit. They would sense that they are not alone, even when they're in a place that sounds like hell and looks like hell, that they would know they're not alone, that you are with them. And Lord, we do. We thank you. We can worship you. We don't take it for granted. And Father, I ask in the name of Jesus that if the enemy is speaking something to somebody in this room that you couldn't ever know Jesus because of what you did last night, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke that by the power of the blood of Jesus. That is not the truth. There is no one too far gone because you ain't dead yet. So, Father, we ask you, come into their hearts. Change their hearts. Change their lives. Because they are unique to you. And you love them. But we ask it all by your power and in your name, Jesus the Christ of Nazareth. We ask this all in your name. Amen. Amen. Go with God. Trust in him. God bless you.